Thank you very much, Jim. I greet you all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, to start with, I guess I used to wonder, as the Lord has written in the scriptures two or three times, that if they don't believe what he's written, that he will wind up taking away from them the thing that they already have. So they don't have that. And I wondered about that. And then I discovered this several years ago, and then a couple of months ago in the Advocate, that dad's caption on a picture on the front of the Advocate, I told these people, were telling them, they have to realize that there is a God, because the form and the rotation of the earth and those things testify that there's a God that created this whole thing. And then, I guess what called this to my mind is, here, not too long ago, I had a person tell me that the apostasy didn't happen. And of course, he was pretty energetic about what he was saying, so I couldn't really answer him at the time. He didn't want to talk about it, he just wanted to tell me. So I had to let it go for a while, and then I'll go back to him. But how can you deny the Dark Ages? You know, after Christ was crucified, the church went into apostasy. And you say, well, what's the Dark Ages got to do with it? It's a real strong testimony of the way God does this. Because remember when Columbus came here? And the history says that the people told him he was going to fall off the end of the earth. When they previously had known that that wouldn't happen. But they lost it. So we have to be really careful of that. Well, I want to start out with Mark, the 12th chapter and 28th verse. I'll read a little bit more than just that, but there are things that we need to realize, and we probably do. So I guess my big thing tonight, I'm going to try to review some of the things that we already know. We already know that we can't go through a day in our lives that we don't need God's Holy Spirit to be with us. And there are a few things about ourselves, about our earth, about our religion that we have to keep constantly in our mind no matter what we're doing, no matter what. We can't let it be out of our minds. So I'll begin to read here. It says in the 12th chapter of Mark, beginning at the 28th verse, it says, and one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together, and perceived that he had answered them well, asked him, which is the first commandment of all? And Jesus answered him, the first of all the commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And there is none other commandment greater than these. This is the thing we need to really hold on to, no matter what else we're trying to to fathom. This is the basis for the entire thing. This is something, you know, we talk about Adam and Eve in the first place, that they only had one commandment. Well, they had a little bit more than one. This one was there. And then right after that, and we realize as we read our Bible that all of the things that happened back there is not written in it. We have to go with what we have because it gives us what we need, not because that's all we want to know, but it's all we need to have if you want to be saved. If you want eternal salvation to live with the Lord for eternity, you have all the things here to help you do that. And in the process of doing that now, the next thing I'd like to read comes from the fifth chapter of Alma. And I'll read quite a little bit here. Because this is one of the, as you'll notice, as I read this, this writer is going to tell you, be careful. A lot of other things are important, but this is more important than all the rest. So let's see what that is. You probably already know, but we'll read it. He's talking to the new group of people that he's come to, that he has been there before, but he hasn't been there for a while. Beginning at the 12th verse on page 323 in the 5th chapter of Alma. Yea, I trust that you do not worship idols, but that you do worship the true and the living God, and that ye look forward for the remission of your sins with an everlasting faith, which is to come. For behold, I say unto you, there are many things to come. And behold, there is one thing that is of more importance than they all. And behold, the time is not far distant that the Redeemer liveth and cometh among his people. Behold, I do not say that he will come among us at the time of his dwelling in the mortal tabernacle, in his mortal tabernacle. For behold, the Spirit hath not said this, said unto me that this should be the one case. I have to be more careful so I don't stumble around all these words. You get an idea of things. Maybe you don't do this, but I have to watch out or I'll do it. I've read it before, and I know what it says. So I kind of translate it in my mind and rehearse it that way instead of what's actually written. So pray for me and help me out. Another thing I'd like to ask for prayers about for me tonight. Not just in this sermon, but in the sermon also. How energetic, how vigorous do we need to be in the talking to people about the gospel and about things like trying to put church things in the church that the Lord Jesus Christ didn't put there? I'll give you the reason I'll do this to start with. Had a visitor here the other day. He was one of our fellow travelers from across the way over here to the LDS. And he was asking a lot of questions. And so as things came up, I told him why I was here and a testimony that God had given me about this church. And the Holy Spirit was there. And I looked up at him and the one that was with him, and you could see that it had touched him as well as me. And I knew that he knew I was telling him the truth. And it wasn't just a moment after that, he told me that himself. He said, I know that what you're telling, your testimony is true. But you know, even so, it didn't dent his tenacity in holding on to these things that had been put in their church that God didn't put there. So these are things that we wrestle with. I do. So I ask for your prayers that I'll do it the right way. That's important. Behold, I do not say that this will come among, he will come among us at the time of his dwelling in the mortal tabernacle. For behold, the Spirit hath not said unto me that this should be the case. Now as to this thing, I do not know. But this much I know, that the Lord God hath power to do all things which are according to his word. But behold, the Spirit hath said this much unto me, saying, cry unto this people, saying, repent ye, and prepare the way of the Lord, and walk in his paths which are straight. For behold, the kingdom of heaven is at hand, and the Son of God cometh upon the face of the earth, and behold, he shall be born of Mary at Jerusalem, which is the land of our forefathers, she being a virgin, a precious and chosen vessel. He'll shall be overshadowed and conceived by the power of the Holy Ghost and bring forth a son, yea, even the Son of God. And he shall go forth suffering pains and afflictions and temptations of every kind. And this, that the word might be fulfilled, which saith, he will take upon him the pains and the sicknesses of his people. He will take upon him death, that he may loose the bands of death which bind his people. And he will take upon him their infirmities, that his bowels may be filled with mercy according to the flesh, that he may know according to the flesh how to succor his people according to their infirmities. Now the Spirit knoweth all things. Nevertheless, the Son of God suffereth according to the flesh, that he might take upon him the sins of his people, that he might blot out their transgressions according to the power of his deliverance. And now behold, this is the testimony which is in me. Now I say unto you that ye must repent and be born again, for the Spirit saith, if ye are not born again, ye cannot inherit the kingdom of heaven. Therefore come and be baptized unto repentance, that ye may be washed from your sins, that ye may have faith on the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world, which is mighty to save and to cleanse from all unrighteousness. Yea, I say unto you, come and fear not, and lay aside every sin which easily doth beset you, which doth bind you down to destruction. Yea, come and go forth and shew unto you your God, show unto your God that ye are willing to repent of your sins and enter into covenant with him to keep his commandments and witness unto him this day by going into the waters of baptism. And whoso doeth this and keepeth the commandments of God from henceforth, the same will remember that I said unto him, he will remember that I have said unto him, he shall have eternal life, according to the testimony of the Holy Spirit, which testifieth in me. And I use this because of the great importance that it has to all of us. But this last part here, I think we need to give more attention to than I have earlier. The Holy Spirit, which testifieth in me. It impresses upon my understanding that this Holy Spirit Not only do we need it to accompany us and give us strength, we need to have it to be able to conduct our lives and be strong in the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. You cannot go through this without having faith in Christ. Everywhere you look, when you are told to pray, you are to pray in His name. You are supposed to have faith in Him to do this. Faith in Him, what about Him? What is it that you're supposed to have that's so strong a faith in Him? All the things that He said. All the promises that He gave. We need to make ourselves aware of. So that we will have faith in Him to fulfill those things. Because remember, as we go through this, He says in several places, and I'll go to the 8th chapter of St. John, I believe it is, to let you know. No, it isn't the 8th chapter. It must be. Boy, memories play tricks on you sometimes. Anyway, I'll quote it to you. But it's where He says that if you continue in My word, then are you My disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. And the truth will make you free. But in the process of this, you have to realize that if you are continuing in His word, fulfilling the being of His disciples indeed, then you will know the truth, because that's what you're doing. That's what you're believing. There's another thing in Christ. He was and hungered one time, hadn't eaten for a long time, and His disciples knew it. And they asked Him, well, do we need to go get something for you to eat? Have you had any meat today? And they were saying, just plain food, what they were talking about. He says, I don't need any. You have to realize that just to do My Father's will is meat to Me. That being true, this is one of the reasons why it is written in the scriptures that there were times when His people were able to do things that were so much out of the ordinary, I'll call it. Strange things. Not strange to people, but it was strange that they could do it. Just like a man that used a sling to throw a rock and had such a velocity and impact that it crushed a man's skull. It entered into his skull and knocked him cold, being hit in the forehead. That's not normal. But even the one that threw the stone, in his testimony, which is David, in his testimony, he knew God was helping him. And he told the people that. And he said, you have to realize, why are you so afraid of these other people in this other army? Don't you realize you're the God? I mean, you're the army of God, the God of Israel. Well, and in this, I'll quote you, cite you to the 7th chapter of 2 Nephi in the Book of Mormon, which tells us that the Gentiles have a responsibility to carry the message of the gospel back to a people who have dwindled away in unbelief. And I say that carefully, because if you read this history of the book, you know they knew at one time. Another thing I want to call to your attention, and this comes out here in trying, I know that it's hard to be able to know just exactly all the details of how everything happened, but these people were talking about the things that Jesus had taught them on the first day that he visited them here on this land. And they got together the second day, and he wasn't there yet. But they broke themselves up into 12 segments so that the multitudes could be broken up and hear each one of the speakers. The speakers that he had chosen the day before. And as this happened, there's a very notable way that they express what they did in the presenting of that message to them. And it's found in, as they've been praying here, and it's found on page 655 in the chapter 9 of 3rd Nephi. I'll start at verse 9. I'll just read a couple of verses. And it came to pass that they arose and ministered unto the people. And when they had ministered those same words which Jesus had spoken, and so that you don't misunderstand how careful they were being about saying the same words that Jesus had spoken, it says this again. Nothing varying from the words that Jesus had spoken. Behold, they knelt again and prayed unto the Father in the name of Jesus, and they did pray for that which they most desired. And they desired that the Holy Ghost would be given to them so they could testify to one another, or have the Holy Spirit testify within them to others of the truth of the gospel and the explanations of the gospel, the fullness of the way to understand it. But we want to recognize the fact that we run into. Christ put all the things in the church that were supposed to be there. And concerning this Holy Ghost, now everybody says this, maybe that's just because at baptism that this is supposed to happen. But I'm not so sure it is. In the 14th chapter of St. John, Christ says, if you love me, keep my commandments. And it's true, the baptism is one of those commandments. But he doesn't confine it here. He just says, if you love me, keep my commandments, and a promise. I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. There's a lot more in on that page that I won't take the time to read at the moment, but I want you to understand, we are the humble followers of Christ. And I underscore that. And this is the church of Christ. Christ's church, he built. He put all the things in it that was supposed to be there. He didn't add patriarchs to that church. He didn't add a high council. He didn't add a president. He didn't do any of those things. But I guess I'll point out to you this. And I'm not trying to find fault with a single soul. I just remember things that I have seen and has happened to me. How it is so easy for someone, for instance, that you have high respect for, to listen to someone else. And they'll say, well, this seems like a good idea because you can put this all together and it'll work really good. But maybe it wasn't what the Lord Jesus Christ did. And that happened. It's kind of like a lot of other things. We go through life and we have things that we discover, maybe we don't even discover it at the time. We don't realize how much of a traumatic experience it is that has happened to us until it might be even years later. You find something happens and bang, that old experience comes back to you with such an impact it staggers you in your tracks. Human beings can't turn those feelings off and on. We expect each other to do that. Especially I expect you. And you expect me. But do we expect it of ourselves? That's what Jesus wants us to do. Expect it of ourselves. And it was mentioned this morning when they talked about this being the end of a great celebration that we have. I hope ours is more spiritual than some of them that you see. But what I'm saying is our Savior finished his work here on earth. We celebrate that today. He went back to his Father. And one of the things that he did, and we need to remember this as well, and I'm sure you do. It's written in Moroni. In the 7th chapter of Moroni. Now I'll start reading in verse 24. Wherefore, by the ministering of angels, and by every word which proceeded forth out of the mouth of God, men began to exercise faith in Christ. And thus, by faith, they did lay hold upon every good thing, and thus it was until the coming of Christ. And after that he came, men also were saved by faith in his name, and by faith they became the sons of God. And assuredly as Christ liveth, he spake these words unto our fathers, saying, whatsoever thing ye shall ask the Father in my name, which is good, in faith believing that ye shall receive, behold, it shall be done unto you. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, hath miracle ceased? Because Christ has ascended into heaven, and has sat down on the right hand of God to claim of the Father his rights of mercy, which he hath upon the children of men, for he hath answered the ends of the law. And he claimeth all those that have faith in him. And they that have faith in him will cleave unto every good thing. Wherefore he advocateth the cause of the children of men, and he dwelleth eternally in the heavens. And because that he hath done this, my beloved brethren, hath miracles ceased? Behold, I say unto you, nay, neither hath angels ceased to minister unto the children of men. Excuse me. Because I want to continue to read here, because we're going to talk about those angels a little bit. For behold, they are subject unto him to minister according to the word of his command, shewing themselves unto them of strong faith and a firm mind in every form of godliness. And the office of their ministry is to call men unto repentance, and to fulfill and to do the work of the covenants of the Father, which he hath made unto the children of men, to prepare the way among the children of men by declaring the word of Christ unto the chosen vessels of the Lord, that they may bear testimony of him. And by so doing, the Lord God prepareth the way that the residue of men may have faith in Christ, that the Holy Ghost may have place in their hearts according to the power thereof. And after this manner bringeth to pass the Father the covenants which he hath made unto the children of men. And Christ has said, if you will have faith in me, ye shall have power to do whatsoever thing is expedient in me. And for brevity's sake, I'll stop reading there just now. But many of our testimonies come in a form in the Bible. For instance, when Joseph was going to put Mary away privately, he had an angel come visit him. But you know, the strange thing about it, people think, well, that happened to him in a dream. Yeah, it did. That's what it said. But it still says the angel was there in his dream, and he told him what he needed to do, and he knew that God's angel was there, and he believed it, and he did it. That's what this is talking about, too. It happens all kinds of ways. I'll tell you the testimony now that I bore to this man. And as I bore it, then I looked up and I recognized, I was kind of looking up at the ceiling, and I'd say I looked up, but I was looking at the ceiling more than down. And when I looked back at him, I recognized he knew what I was saying had happened. It was true. Maybe this didn't seemed very great. But when I came back from the army, I was somewhat of a lost soul. Makes me realize in days like this now We talk about miracles. The touching of a man's heart. The ability that the Holy Spirit gives him to change and to have the Holy Ghost wrought upon his heart. To cleanse him. To renew him. To once again purify his soul and to help him to build a new life. This happened to me. I was in this dream. And many of you probably don't know where it was. There's a high school that used to be down here. It's still buildings there, but it's not the high school anymore. When I was young, they used to have a conference with the RLDS people here, which doesn't exist anymore. And so we'd come down and go through this building over here. I don't know whether you've all been in it or not, but it's got a multitude of offices and auditoriums and ramps. And in my dream, I was going through that building. And there was a person that came with me. I knew he was there, but he never said anything. And I didn't talk to him. I knew he was there. Everywhere I went, he was there. I went all through this building and I was looking for something and it was specific, but I didn't know what it was. So then I recognized where I was. And I thought, well, I've gone through all the offices here, been here before, I know this all of them. I didn't find it. Came up to the vestibule, and the openness of the front of the auditorium was more then than it is now. And as I looked out, that front door over on this lot, there was that little white church. And there wasn't anybody there, it just glowed. I looked out there, and that's when the person behind me spoke. And he stuck his hand over my shoulder, and he says, saw my finger just about that close. And he says, that's my church. And I said, well, I already belong there. He says, I know, but you need to know that's my church. This is something we have to be eternally grateful for, that God's willing to condescend to do these things, to let us know, to be sure where the right way is. And you say to yourself, well, we got a lot of problems here. Yeah, we do. Because we're people. That's who we are. We're people. And you'll notice that we spoke of Peter this morning as he'd gone through all these things with Christ and he denied him three times. But there is a thing that happened between the time when he stood up to the Pharisees and said, men and brethren, listen to me. Something had happened in between. And it's called the day of Pentecost. When like cloven tongues of fire, the Holy Ghost rested upon all the people present so that they knew what was right. And they prophesied and did things with each other. And every man heard what was said, because there were different languages. But every man heard that in his own language. You go back and read it. It's all there. Second chapter of the Acts of the Apostles. Very unusual. Then and now. But the thing we need to realize is how basic and needed this Holy Ghost is as an accompaniment to when we're saying the truth. I was offered to prayer many times that when I bear my testimonies of different things, even what's written, that the Holy Ghost would attend, so that the one who is being spoken to would know what they had heard was true. Twice now, I've been confronted with the reality that what Nephi says in 2 Nephi and the 14th, no, the third, no, it is the 14th chapter. Nope, it isn't. It's the 15th. The part that I'm talking about. It says, "Now I, Nephi, cannot write all the things which were taught among my people, neither am I mighty in writing, like unto speaking. For when a man speaketh by the power of the Holy Ghost, the power of the Holy Ghost carrieth it unto the hearts of the children of men." And notice there's a very specific arrangement of the words in the translation that the Holy Spirit, through the Urim and Thummim, has brought to us. He didn't say, "The power of the Holy Ghost carrieth that into the hearts of the children of men." It does not say that. It says, "unto." And then it goes on and explains to you why. "But behold, there are many that harden their hearts against the Holy Ghost, that hath no place in them. Wherefore they cast away many things which are written, and esteem them as things of naught. But I, Nephi, have written what I have written, and I esteem it of great worth, especially unto my people. For I pray continually for them by day, and mine eyes water my pillow by night, because of them, and I cry unto my God in faith, and I know that he will hear my cry, and I know that the Lord God will consecrate my prayers for the gain of my people." You know, I'm going to stop here for a minute. And over in, I'm just going to refer you to the 16th chapter of Alma, where it talks about faith and having faith in Christ and so forth. And how, if we just try it out first and let it grow and cultivate it. But if you'll notice there, in one particular place, it said faith unto repentance. It shows you that this faith is an active ingredient in your thought process. Faith will carry you to repentance. And it makes you realize that when you subscribe, when you read the word of Christ and God, when you read that word and understand it, it replaces other thoughts that you have. And so you change. That's repentance, brothers and sisters. You've repented of one thing and grasped another. We need to recognize how simple a process and yet sometimes how painful it is. I referred to her a while back about how sometimes Some of these traumatic experiences come on us and influence our thinking and our feelings. We need to ask this God that He will send that Spirit into our hearts to help us understand how we should feel, how we should think, what things we should desire. Because without it, you can't remold the human. Paul talks in a lot of different ways, but he's telling you the same thing. You have to recognize that it's vital to your existence and maintaining of yourself to follow and believe the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because that Holy Spirit is part of that gospel. You need the whole thing. And when we read these things and we understand them, then we realize that there's a special thing they do for us inside. And when you go to people's homes, this has to come across to them as well. Because they sit there and they ask you questions. And maybe you have differences of opinion. And you have to realize that's not a signal to get up and leave. You need to go on and talk to them on the things that you can agree on. And one of the emphasis that you always have to make, but sometimes this doesn't make that much difference about your disagreement. You have to believe what Jesus Christ said. Why do you think that in the revelation that everybody calls the revelation of John, it tells you right in the beginning of it that it's a revelation of Jesus Christ? Many of you have read it. Starting in first verse of Revelation. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to shew unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John. A chain of command, if you will. A chain of command. And these are things we need to do. It says, who bear record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. So we have to recognize all of these things that turn out to be the word of God are true. You might not understand them all. And we as men think we need to understand everything. But brothers and sisters, there are some things that God wants us to have faith in Him. He doesn't want us to know everything. We have to have faith that all of His promises will come true. So, if He says to you, there's a couple of places where it says He makes a promise, and He says this promise is to you and to all the ends of the earth. And it used to stop me in my tracks. Well, wait a minute. Here, I'm trying to be the best kind of fellow that I know how to be, and this is to somebody else too. Brothers and sisters, it is to everyone. Not everyone will believe. Not everyone will reach out and grasp. But everyone has the opportunity. Some way or another, they will be given the opportunity to behave the best way they know how to behave. And there is a pattern of understanding that even in the uneducated, isolated people in different parts of the world that are that bad, they have a code of conduct. This is our code of conduct. We have a reference manual to go by. And these are the things we need to hang on to because they're important to us, to each other. This Holy Ghost, we are told, and it's true, many of you, I don't really think that there is any of us that I've ever talked to, that when they were baptized, there was something different about the feeling that they had of that day and that occurrence. I was relatively young. I was baptized in a lake or a pond, depends on what you, how big you think it was. But when we come up out of that pond, there was sunshine that day. But there was a radiance about us all that I couldn't understand, but I remember it being there. The Holy Spirit attends us, and we must have confidence in God to give us these things that we need so desperately. I'll go back to Peter now. The Holy Ghost gave him strength and conviction to do the things that he needed to do to be a follower of Christ. Now he finally understood. It was his inner being, because of his love for Christ and a desire to do what he should do, the Holy Spirit wrought upon his heart. That means it molded it. It arranged it in a different way. And this happened to Peter. And because he knew now what he, or rather he felt now, I'm going to say that, because he felt now the thing he hadn't felt before, it gave him the strength. It's kind of like, you've all heard the story about the 2,000 stripling soldiers that their mothers had trained and fought so valiantly. Those 2,000 stripling soldiers had faith in Christ. And because their mothers had taught them this, and they felt like, and what would do this? This Holy Spirit, once again, it transferred some information from one heart to another. That's done by the Holy Spirit, not just by human persuasion. Especially in our instance, it is vital and true. Because, you know, I don't know whether how you realize, wrong, how to put this together, how true what Paul said, that no man can say that Jesus is the Christ except by the power of the Holy Ghost. Because the devil will not let you say that if somebody wasn't there to make it so he couldn't close your mouth. God gives you the liberty to do that. And these are things we need to hang on to. We need to have compassion for each other, because in these things where issues come up, where trauma is involved, that trauma, you can say, well, the rule says this. That's quite true. But you can't just change from one way of feeling to another way without the assistance of Almighty God. That comes to us by the power of the Holy Ghost. We need it to survive. And the work that we have to do in the future is going to be more vital to the things that we try to do than even we realize it now. Because the times are coming. And now is. I'll give you another example where it's already making itself felt. Maybe not to us personally. You know, there's a lawsuit going on in a town here in the United States that's called, in this town, they're putting a big cross up. It must stick up about 100 feet, the way I understand it. And this other person says, that offends me when I go by and I see that. Well, brothers and sisters, that means this person doesn't want to get along with other people. But he's going to ride the tide of the law the way it's being administered, or try to get his way. He doesn't want God's way. He wants his way. So he's suing them to make them take that down, and it's on church property. The name of the place is interpreted into English. The city is named the Body of Christ. Yeah. You'll recognize it more readily by this name, Corpus Christi, Texas. What I'm saying, this tide of persecution and of the law being against Christians is a thing we need to remember to God, because we need his help to survive and do the right thing in the face of these dangers, because they're more than things like happen in Brussels over there. And I'll go along with law enforcement this far. This happened over there, if you've all heard the story. These bombs were set off outside of the secure area that people go through before they get on the airplane, as people gather together. This is the thing we have to recognize. This danger cannot be by laws or by enforcement of laws. This cannot be taken from the hearts of the people. There has been a war. And when Christ was crucified, there was a war in heaven. And that war was between two different forces, the devil and Jesus Christ and his Father. And Gabriel fought and his angels, and the devil fought with his. And the devil didn't win. He's not going to win. But we want to be tools in the hands of God. And so we have to recognize, each of us. You need to recognize it when you deal with people who have these traumatic flashbacks, if you want to call them that. To help them understand and to be strong enough to want to rearrange their thinking so that they are doing what God asked them to do. And how to divide that up? Yes, we could have a long discussion about that. I know that. But what I really want you to do is to realize there's going to be something come up in conference. And you ladies are not going to be invited. We're going to have a discussion. And if you think that your prayers, your honest prayers, you ladies at home, won't affect the ability of the rest of them in discussing this, if you think that's not true, have another thought. Your prayers are heard. They will be heard, and we need them. We need to understand always the right way to handle things so everybody is treated like they need to be treated. This Holy Spirit is not only for situations like this, only this is one important one. But they go on from all of our activities day to day. Just like I ask you to pray for me, because I and others are in this office down here, in a visitor center. How we present this gospel, how loving and considerate we go at it. Because I'll refer to this, and you can go and look at it. I think it's in the fourth chapter of Matthew. No, it's St. John. The woman at the well that Christ talked to. He told her everything that she had done. And it hadn't been good. But did she get mad? No. She went home to her people and said, "This is Christ. He told me everything I'd ever done. This is Him." And so her people, did they take her word for it? No. They went over there and checked it out. And they came back and told her, "This is the Christ. That's who this is." I think that the compassion that He gives Let me take the time to say one more thing. And I hope this comes across right. A long time ago, I had a visitor in the night when I was in the hospital. And it's hard for me to describe him because he was loving and considerate and compassionate. You just felt it around him. And he talked to me about what I had to do. And being the hard-headed I am, I argued with him. 5 nights this happened. But I can't tell you how nice he was. But he would always say, "No, Marvin, you've read this. This is what you have to do. And if you did it, you can't blame it on anybody else. You did it. If he did that to cause you to do that, I'll hold that against him. You did it. You fix it." I wish I could let everybody know how it felt to talk to him. But he never moved an inch. He didn't vary in what he said. But he was so patient, I couldn't believe it. I still learn from things that happened like that. This is the kind of God that we have, but he doesn't move. His word is firm. We all have to understand that. God be with all of you, and thank you so much for listening.